Amazing women popping in to share their stories with our Silverback Senior Ladies Group. Tandy Newton, Anushka Shankar, Anita Rani, Maggie Adarin-Pocock, and so many more. All being grilled by the interviewers no one can resist. A bunch of nosy old Indian women.
Meera Sayal's Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar.
Next Wednesday evening at 6:30 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now, Radio 4 Sarah Millican is back with the show that rewards guests for the regular and the rebellious.
Welcome to Elephant in the Room. And welcome to Elephant in the Room, the show about normality, a concept that the year 2020 has ripped right off its hinges, strapped to the roof of a creepy camper van, and fly-tipped in a cursed forest full of witches. We surveyed the great British public on important issues such as which clothes would you like to die in and how old are your eyeballs? And from the ones who didn't call the police, we collated all the data into a series of graphs, each more colourful than the last, from which we can work out which of our guests tonight is statistically the most central Sally and which is the most oddball Odette. It's maths, but it's fun, like an accountancy firm on Silly Tie Friday, but fun. With me are some women and a man, only this time our panel are all online, because it's 2021 and our coats are all still hanging where we left them in 2020, wondering what they did to offend us. I'll be asking the panel questions from the survey. There are no wrong answers here, but there are a lot of strange answers. To protect the identity of some of our more eccentric respondents, we've changed the names. Any similarity with the names of real people is entirely coincidental and also highly unlikely. So if you're listening, Daphne Squeaky Toy or Jockstrap McJuicy Fruit, we don't mean you, Flower. Let's meet our guests for this evening. My first guest loves documentaries about ancient Rome. Well, I can guarantee that anyone who sees her will have a great time. Please welcome comedian, writer and actor Joanne McNally. My next guest was named after a giraffe. Some people's parents are inspired by the midwife, but in this case, it was the wildlife. Please welcome comedian and writer Keema Bob.
Good one.
My next guest has a black belt in Taekwondo and says people think that's a setup to a joke, so he beats them up. Please welcome TV presenter and comedian Stephen Bailey.
Hello.
Guest cannot drive at 38, but is fine at all of the other speeds. It's comedian, writer and filmmaker Josie Long. Before we get into our questions, we asked all of our guests to bring in an object that shows how average or maverick they really are. Let's see who brought in a trophy for breeding cats and who brought in a catastrophe. Joanne, what did you bring in, my love?
I forgot it! It's in the kitchen! Hold on!
Oh, no, that's okay. It's radio. We can just pretend.
I'm such a method comic. I brought my mother.
Oh, she's very quiet and small.
Teeny tiny. Also, what my mother carries around the house is a shoe wine holder. So that's what I bought because we're basic boozers.
And I like that she carries it round with her.
I know.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Keema, what have you brought to show us?
I brought a yoga mat.
A yoga mat?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. This is one of those things you pick up, you go, I'm going to change my life. I'm never going to be the same again. I don't even know if it can unroll because it's been rolled up so long. But, you know, one day, it's just like a constant reminder of how many times I break that promise to myself. And I love to see it.
But it's step one. Buying a yoga mat is step one.
100%. Step two is allowing it to collect dust next to your television.
I think a lot of us are on step two. Thank you very much, Keema. Excellent object. Stephen, how about you, love?
Well, so I've got this bust of a naked man statue. And I gave my mum a key to the flat and she kept coming over. So I now put it in the hallway and she will not come in because it embarrasses her. I think because it reminds her of my dad.
Could you not just put, like, some little pants on him?
No, then she'd come round.
She needs a ceramic penis to keep her away.
It just really mortifies her.
She's definitely seen one bigger than that.
Oh, I don't know if you've met my dad, Sarah.
Oh. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thank you.
And how about you, Josie? What have you brought, please?
So what this is it's a trophy, and at the top of it is a little kind of rosette in plastic with the Crystal Palace football team logo on it. And on the bottom it says, After School Clubs, 1993, Most Improved Player. And that sounds impressive.
No.
But what that really means is, you were so bad. This is the only compliment we could give you.
By the end of the term, you finally managed to get the boots on.
I didn't realise I had a nickname at After School Football Club, and my nickname was Goal Machine. And it was only like a year later that I realised it was completely ironic.
Thank you very much, Josie. Excellent. I love it. Let's crack on with the show and our first question. We asked our survey, what UK TV game show would you be on if you had the choice? Joanne, would you want to be a millionaire?
I'm hooked on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I watch it back to back. I kind of cheat, but I was actually on Family Fortune.
Were you?
What?
Yes! So what happened was, I wasn't supposed to be on it. They didn't want me on it. It's Celebrity Family Fortunes, and one of my friends is a celebrity, and her family couldn't make it over because of Corona, so they wheeled me out. So I was just this, like, family friend. Oh, my God. The waving. What is the waving about? No offence to Family Fortunes, but it was one of the most humiliating experiences of my life. But I would choose to be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, because sometimes I can get quite high, and then sometimes I get knocked out of the £200 question.
Well, bless your honesty. Thank you, Joanne. Kima, how about you?
Oh, my goodness. Even now, with you asking me that question, I was a bit mortified. None of them. I could say which show I'd like to go on least, because it seems really hard. That House of Games business.
Oh, yeah.
It looks terrifying. It seems like a just horrible way to confirm that my 2 degrees in art are useless. I just don't need that. I don't need to feel that way.
Josie's been on, haven't you, Josie? Did you like it?
I loved it. And let me tell you something for free. They get professional athletes on it who are the most kind, uncomplicated people in the world. They're so calm, but they don't know anything about general knowledge. They've been busy. They've been running for 20 years. You're a shoo-in.
Oh, God. I don't have quiz knowledge or pub quiz knowledge. Like, I just can't.
I feel like I've put you on the spot by just asking you a question about game shows. No, I don't want to answer.
I feel like I'm having a quiz now. This is a quiz.
That's fine. You've been knocked out this round. We'll move on. Thank you very much. Stephen, how about you? Which UK TV game show would you like to be on?
Well, I did do Celebrity Mastermind, and it was awful. Ooh. I got 4 in total. Now, most people get 4 in one round. You pick the subject.
What was your specialist subject?
I chose girl bands. This should have been easy. Girls Aloud, Spice Girls, Little Mix, and who did they throw in to break me? The Pussycat Dolls. Yeah, yeah. I just think I need something simple. Like, I need something like Catchphrase, where say what you see. You know, do you remember like Wheel of Fortune? Spin the wheel and hope for the best.
That's what they should call it. You should front a game show called Spin the Wheel and Hope for the Best.
Sarah Millican, you pitch it, you sell it, I'll be there.
I'll be your glamorous sidekick.
No, you lead, I'll be the sidekick.
Thank you very much, Stephen. And how about you, Josie? So you've been on a few. Is there any that you haven't done that you would like to do?
Well, I've been on so many celebrity game shows. I don't know why I don't get booked to be a comedian, but I will take any bookings. I'll take the game show bookings. I would like to go on a little quiz called Spin the Wheel and Hope for the Best.
I know somebody. I can get you on that.
If I could be on anything, I would be on the 1980s television kids quiz Nightmare. the most terrifying and incredible game show on earth, and I would go on it and I would pretend it was real. So on the show, there would be a child who was sort of, it was like you were a quest through a magical land, and then you'd have your friends who were sort of trying to work out whether you should go forward, sideways, because the child doing the role play had a bucket over their head for no reason. Then there would be lots of actors, and the actors would be like, "Say, dreamer, I am the lord of these lands." And I would just take them 100% seriously. I would not act as if they were actors and it was charming. I'd be like, "A wizard, please turn my friend into a frog. I will not rest until you do."
I would like to see that. Thank you for your answer, Josie. A whopping 11.39% of people said they'd love to be on BBC One's Pointless. There's an irony that our most popular response is a show where you have to find the most obscure answer. Some people who answered said they'd love to go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Was it A, 2%, B, 6%, C, 8%, D, mushy peas? Or would you like to zoom a friend? Lucy Raspberry Ripple said she once went on Catchphrase and won £28,000. Wow. Well done, Lucy. Aren't you a clever big wooden shoes? According to official figures, BBC One's biggest game show audience of the century was the Great British Bake Off Final in 2016, which secured 15.9 million viewers. Or to put that in bacon terminology, hundreds of hundreds and thousands. So at the end of that round, Stephen was our fitting in Lynn and Josie was our on his own Jerome. They both get points. The scoring is very complicated, but it's not really about winning or losing as long as we're having fun. So if any of the panel are not having fun, they will be disqualified. Let's crack on. We asked our survey, what food could you live without? Josie, how about you? What food could you live without?
Mushrooms. Oh. Mushrooms. Why is everyone eating them? They're like a whole other food group, and it's fine to eat a fungus. People don't know the facts about mushrooms. They're just eating them.
Do you think not enough research has been done into mushrooms?
Exactly this.
Do you think if you woke up one day and you were in the woods and you couldn't find how to get back home, you didn't have your phone or anything, you might go, "I'm going to try a mushroom today"?
Do you know what? I'd eat grubs before I ate a mushroom.
No!
I'd chase down a deer. I could find blaberries. I've got a friend who's a wilderness expert. She taught me how to find little blaberries that are natural and native to Britain, and you pick them yourself and they look just like a blueberry and they taste of nothing at all.
Wow, your friend sounds great.
I have a question, Josie. Is what you're talking about fungus for a mushroom, is that what I have on my feet?
Yeah.
Well, then, if it's good enough for my feet, it's good enough for my pizza.
That is not the tack I thought you were going to take.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm proud of you.
What about you, Kima? What food could you happily live without?
Just as a person, I don't understand sausage. I feel like it's very confusing as a concept. It's just ground up random meat and seasoning shoved inside its own guts. Like, that's crazy to me that we're allowing it to happen and oftentimes encouraging it first thing in the morning.
Welcome to the UK. We like to wake up with a sausage.
Nonsense.
Thank you, Kima. Stephen, what would you like to live without food-wise?
Well, I love a sausage. All day, every day, I could have a sausage. I could happily never see salad ever again in my life. During the lockdown and the pandemic and everything, everyone's like, "Oh, I'm just having a salad." Like, my hairdresser lost 4 stone. "I'm just having a salad. I'm on the bike. I'm doing all this." No, babe. Give me the wraps. Give me the crisps. I want it all at once. I do not need salad. If anything, the beiger the plate, the better. I just don't know why people like greenery. I don't mind a bunch of flowers being bright, but I don't want that in my body.
I sometimes order a side salad for show in a restaurant, and then I just leave it. And they take it away and they're like, "Do you want me to box this up?" And you're like, "I didn't even want you to put it down."
Yeah. Do you know when, like, the harvester is like, you can have as much salad as you want, unlimited salad, and it's like, I don't think you're doing us a favour, babe.
Exactly, that's like bringing me a basket and saying, fill it with as many dog turds as you like. Oh, thanks very much. Thank you, Stephen, I'm on side for that. And Joanne, what food would you like to live without, my love?
This is a controversial answer, so I hope this isn't going out in Ireland or I'll get excommunicated.
Well,
potato.
No! Racist!
Stephen just thinks he thought potato, but we all
thought
spirit.
That is a hate crime. I'm going to write a blog about this.
So what was it, Joanne?
Guinness. Ooh. Which you might not consider a food group, but it absolutely is considered a food group, so much so that they encourage pregnant women to drink it because it's good for their iron. And in Ireland, I'm probably setting this all back now about 6 years, but this is the truth. I mean, we can't hide our history. When you gave blood in Ireland, they'd give you a pint of Guinness for free after, so a lot of people were just giving blood for the Guinness. Until one lad drank the Guinness, clearly on an empty stomach, fell down the steps of the blood clinic, broke his neck, ruined the crack for everyone. They stopped giving out the Guinness.
See, that doesn't happen when you get an orange club biscuit here.
No.
thank you very much, Joanne. In our survey, the top answer with 29.3% is ice cream. In other news, 29.3% of people surveyed had also presumably never been dumped or had a period. 14.65% said they could absolutely do without chips. What on earth do they have with their pies, fish, burgers and mash? I could live without chips as long as I could still make those sautéed potato sticks and smother them in salt and vinegar. Almost 10% of our respondents said they could live without chocolate. I've met those types. They say things like, I have a savoury tooth, which is not a thing. I know a woman who prefers nuts to chocolate. I'm literally the opposite. I once sucked the chocolate off a Cadbury's whole nut and put the nuts back in the minibar. Still got charged. Beverly Armpit said if she never saw cheese again, it would be too soon. I'm on your side, Beverly. I haven't liked cheese since a teacher made us all shake a bottle of milk until it becomes cheese, and then left the classroom, presumably to have a breakdown. So at the end of that round, Josie was our customary Clara and Kima was our irregular Igor. They both get points. Time for a quick fire round now. We asked our survey what their favourite day out was as a child. Top answer was going to the seaside, but can any of our panel guess what the 14th most popular answer was? Kima, I'm going to start with you.
Being outside, you're going to get some ice cream now. You left your house, you got ice cream. You were out. Time to go back in, kid.
Just a day trip to some ice cream and then back again.
Yep.
Got it. Thank you. Stephen, how about you?
Was it when you have to go and see your mum's friend that you're forced to call auntie because she's known her whole life?
Thank you, Stephen. Josie, what about you? 14th most popular favourite day out. What do you think?
Funeral?
A good one.
Thank you very much, Josie. And finally, Joanne, what do you think?
Because I think 14th is something you don't really want to do because kids are like dogs. They're just pretty easily pleased, aren't they? I mean, I don't have any, so I don't know. But some sort of medical consultation, like having to get a tooth removed or get knit cream put in.
Excellent answer. Thank you very much. The 14th most popular answer on our survey was plane spotting, which is much less gritty than its prequel. More flasks and sandwiches, less heroin and swimming in toilets. Going to football matches was at number 13, whereas going to the library was the 10th most popular day out. Truly, I have found my people. The only way you could improve the library is if you stopped halfway through your book for a lovely pie. Joey Peanuts just put caravan. Doesn't actually say whether they went anywhere in the caravan or just spent a week on their drive till his wife calmed down. So at the end of that round, Stephen was our toe the line Lionel and Joanne was our quirky Queenie. They both get points. Woo! Let's take a look at where things stand. Josie can expect a great triumph. And Joanne, it's your lucky day. These aren't the scores, these are your horoscopes. Kima, you will enjoy a sensual encounter with a tall stranger. And Stephen, your colour today is green.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
You're welcome. On to our next question. We asked our survey, what's your favourite type of holiday? Stephen, where do you like to go on your holidays?
See, I really love... Well, basically, I don't like flying, so anywhere I can drive to. I really love a little static caravan.
Nice.
It just reminds me of being a kid. Actually, there one time when I went on a static caravan holiday with me granny, me and my cousin were bouncing on the bed, fell off and gave her two black eyes. So for the memories, to be honest, Sarah, it's for the memories.
Such good times.
Yeah, I love a static caravan because I just think I know where I am. Like Durdledore vibes. It's just... Last time I was on the radio, someone messaged me and said that I sounded like a 60-year-old female smoker. I don't know who is applauding that, but I object. And so I thought, that is actually what's in my soul. And that's I feel like that's where I want to go. I want to go to the static caravan and I want to take the grandkids away. I don't have any grandkids, but I'd like to borrow some and take them with me.
And just hope that they don't give you black eyes.
I don't mind if they do.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Josie, how about you? What kind of holiday do you like?
I like a holiday that goes to lots of different places and that I have to make very elaborate plans and schedules for. That, to me, is heaven. Like, we're getting the ferry at 4 a.m, then we'll be driving across the mountains, then we'll stay for 2 nights, then we shall rent a bike. The bikes I've rented off a man who I found via a Facebook group. Then we shall go on a sea trip. I learned Spanish to speak to the people about the sea trip. That's my dream. A holiday that is basically a short part-time job.
Is your dream. I love that. Thank you very much, Josie. Joanne, how about you? What kind of holiday do you like?
I have very specific holiday requirements because I'm incredibly pale. Like, I'm kind of translucent. So if I don't get the sun, I could actually get rickets. It's a genuine concern of mine. Like, naked, I just look like a lot of organs stuffed into a balloon. So if I'm free to, like, leave the country, I love a sun holiday. I also love an all-inclusive, which you just do spend 2 weeks queuing to eat, which it's kind of like a really posh prison. Like, the last time I went on one, we were rolled out of the place. Oh my God, like they had a Haribo kind of area for breakfast with like champagne and everything.
Like a Haribo station.
Haribo station. You're like, is this heaven or hell? I don't know, but I paid $3,000 for it, so I have to eat what
You've got to get your money's worth.
Exactly, you have to eat and drink your money back. So we were rolled out of the place and we drank so much Aperol Spritz and champagne, like I was literally pissing bubbles.
Thank you very much, Joanne. And Kima, what kind of holiday do you like?
Wow, sorry, I'm just stuck on the Haribo bar because it does sound like a nightmare and fantasy at the same time. You just leave your teeth there. So for me, I love people. I think people are great. You know, people make the world go round or gravity or something. I don't know the science. But I prefer to travel alone because you don't have to, like, deal with people and what they want to do. Because whenever I travel with people, they're like, I want to see the sights. And I'm like, I want to eat stuff, also sleep. So I like to go to a place where I can eat stuff, go to a beach, lay on it. But the most important part of a solo trip for me is the kind of fear of being kidnapped. So it's just like a fun thing that I carry with me when I'm somewhere alone and I'm like, oh no, I'm going to be taken and Liam Neeson will have to step in. But then I remember Liam Neeson is not my dad, and Liam Neeson's special skills, he was like, I'm in the CIA, I'll kill you or whatever. My dad's special skills are barbecue and being afraid of flying. So if I do get napped, I'm out of luck.
Do you do anything to avoid being kidnapped?
Just looking over the shoulder a lot.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they say about people who get kidnapped. They're just oblivious.
Never, if I see like a van pulled toward just the sidewalk, I'm just like, ah! Not today.
Kima, I am on board with the going alone thing. Because Josie, you sound like an absolute nightmare.
She wants us to go to the museum. We don't care about the museum.
Also, let me just bring this back round to the old all-inclusives. I don't know where you're going that has champagne and Aperol spritz. Everywhere I've been has had, like, cans of lager and, like, lots of, like, pork that's been there for days and spring rolls, and I can never get my head round it. Everything's always sweating like it's been brought back to life.
Is that because you only go to caravan parks, Stephen? I mean, I'm just guessing.
This sounds like you went on an all-inclusive to Butlins, which isn't what I was talking about. I was talking like a more premium experience.
I mean, guys, you're not wrong. Bognor Regis is my favourite gig and my favourite holiday.
Thank you very much. According to our survey, almost 40% of the Great British public favours a beach holiday, which shows the Great British spirit of having a jolly time despite looking like a lobster with sand in your food and in all your crannies. Ninth in our top 10 favourite types of holiday is relaxation. I agree. I always prefer those over the holidays that promise stress, otherwise known as family holidays. Rita Tojam tells us her favourite is no kid, hubby and time to have fun and me time. Indeed, Rita, divorce is a kind of holiday. Bon voyage. According to Statista.com, the British public's favourite place to go on holiday is to Spain because we love the seaside. That's not true. It's because you can get great fish and chips and meet people from all different parts of the UK. So at the end of that round, Josie was our bog standard Bob and Kima was our off the planet Janet. They both get points.
Can I just say, it is so nice to be seen and appreciated and rewarded for being who I am.
You are welcome.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
That's all we've got time for. So if you still don't know what's normal by now, I wouldn't worry about it. I think it's pretty clear that none of us do. Elephant in the Room has prizes for the person closest to and also furthest away from the average. And on a radio comedy budget, you'd better believe that these prizes are literally priceless. They are also definitely real and not just some noises we made. Our most everyday Emily was Josie, and so you get a sword.
Thank you.
Don't run with it. And our most anomalous Annie was Kima. So you get this delightful box full of national secrets.
The nuclear bus code is password exclamation.
Oh my gosh.
Guard it well and try not to open it on a radio show. What a great audience you've been. Special thanks to those who filled in the survey. Your names have been added to the list. You'll find out which list I mean when the time comes. It's nothing to worry about. Please join me in thanking our excellent guests, Josie Long, Joanne McNally, Kima Bob and Stephen Bailey. I've been your host, Sarah Milliken. Good night. Listening to Elephant in the Room. It was written by Sarah Milliken, Gabby Hutchinson-Crouch, Juliet Myers and Sindhu V. The producer was Leanne Cook and it was a Chopsy production for the BBC.
And Sarah Milliken will be back with a brand new panel revealing how average or maverick they really are next week at the same time. After the news, Susan is led on in The Archers. Then at 15:15, the next artist in Front Row's Get Creative series is Sarah Maple, who'll be exploring the art of collage using the idea of negative space. She shows us how to create our own collage using text and imagery.